With all that being said, we give Ladina a hand as she shares with you today.
So I can just talk real loud, or you can turn me on at the soundboard. Whatever you choose to do, it's all right. I was informed today I have a mom voice, so I can yell real loud. So, yeah. You don't want that side of me, though. I'm going to try to keep it down to Jesus. So, my name is Ladina, and I'm the pastor of operations here at Fellowship Church. I've been here for, I was trying to think about how long I've been coming to this church, and I think it's about 9 years-ish. It's been a long time, and I really love it here. I really love being a part of community, and I really appreciate everybody here, and I really do enjoy being here. God has brought me here, brought me and my husband here 9 years ago, 9+ years ago, and it wasn't easy when we came, but it was, like, I know now why we're here, so it's really awesome to see his plan work out. Trina was doing the introduction. She did amazing, and I literally was like, oh, just take all my sermon notes. That's fine. Just take it. So let's pray. No, just kidding. Not so lucky. I started out as a youth pastor here and then transitioned into operations about 3 years ago. That doesn't mean I do surgery. It just means, fancy word for secretary, because I don't like to be called a secretary, so it's a fancy word for that. But I just do the stuff behind the scenes, admin stuff, and I really do enjoy it. I've been married for 14 years. I have 3 children. They're not really small anymore, so I can't say that. My husband Ryan does the FC online, so I'm just going to do a shameless plug right now. If you're interested in media or technology, he is your guy. He is amazing. He does a great job getting our services out on the interwebs, and so if you want to be involved in that, sign up. If you want to know something you can serve at and you don't have to actually talk to anyone, do that, because that's an amazing place to serve and get plugged in. Before we get started with today's message, I really want to overcap a little bit what Pastor Anthony talked about last week, because we are doing this series on Haggai, and I want to make sure that we know where we're going and we know kind of where we're at and we know what's happening next. And so Haggai is a really short book in the Bible, and Pastor Anthony spoke on Haggai chapter 1 last week, and he talked about how God brought his people from exile. They did a bunch of stuff. They got taken away from their land, and he brought them back, and he told them to build the temple. He gave them that job to build the temple. He also talked about how the temple was the symbol of God's presence in the world at that time, and that's something that throughout this whole book is talked about over and over again. It's the temple. And it's like, why is that so important? Today, we get to find out, so be excited. And he also talked about how some weird way, we are also the temple. Like, Jesus, if you're a Christ follower, if Jesus is your Savior, then that means that his Spirit lives in you, and that means that you are his temple, and that you are filled with his Spirit. And so, in some crazy way, it's not about the building, it's about the people. And so when you say the church, we're talking about the church, which is the people. And so he shared all these great things with us last week. But we talked about a little bit last week how the people got busy doing their own stuff and how they forgot about what God called them to do, which was rebuild the temple. And they got busy putting up wood paneling. He was really excited about wood paneling. If you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. If you weren't, you can listen online. You should have been here. It's okay. I don't take attendance. That's not part of my job, so it's all right. But I left last week super convicted, in a good way, like super convicted about, where are my priorities? Am I giving all my time, treasure, and talent to Christ? Am I actually doing what he's called me to do, or am I just doing my own thing? And so today, we get to talk about Haggai 2 is where we're going to pick up the story, and we get to talk about how the people, the children of Israel, again, were like, got a little distracted. And sometimes, I'm going to say this again later on, because when I read the Bible and I read about the children of Israel, I'm like, ugh, how could they even fall into that trap? Come on, don't they know what they're doing? And then I like look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, okay. That's how. So be careful when you're reading the Bible, judging the Israelites, because we do the same thing. We fall into the same traps. We know the end of the story, but they had to live by faith. And I don't know about you, but that is not my strong suit. Living by faith is super hard. So just remember that as we're reading this passage of Scripture. So we're going to pick it up in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And I'm going to read through the whole passage, and then we're going to break it down a little bit and kind of look at some of the verses a little bit in depth there. So Haggai 2, verse 1 says, "In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you? Who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I have made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts. Yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And I am in this, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." I know Anthony just prayed, but I like to pray after I read, so I'm just going to do it. God, thank you so much for your word. I pray as we read your passage that you will sink it deep, deep in our hearts, God, that you will open our eyes. God, if we've came in with scales on our eyes, God, take them off. Help us to press in and to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. As Pastor Anthony pointed out last week, is that it's really cool when the Bible gives actual dates because it shows a specific time in history where this really happened, and we can back it up with actual dates. And so in the beginning of chapter 2, it says, "The seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came to by the hand of Haggai the prophet." And that was October 17th, 520 BC. So I just find that really cool that we can give an actual date to when this happened, and it lines up with historical events. And so God is just cool like that. And so last week we talked about them. They were being encouraged to rebuild the temple and do what he's called them to do. But like I said, once again, they were kind of like got discouraged. And in verse 3, we find out kind of why they got discouraged. And it says, "Who is left among you?" says, "Who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it nothing in your eyes? Yet be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts." And so this whole passage just reminds us again, like there was some remnant. So those are the people that came back from exile that remembered what the temple looked like. And this is the temple that King Solomon built a long time ago. And in 1 Kings chapter 6, I believe, it talks about the temple and what it looked like. And this temple was beautiful. It was like the most beautiful thing at that time. He brought in like exotic wood and jewels and just all this riches. And he adorned the house of God. And it was so amazing. And all the people would come and worship at this amazing temple. And God's presence was there. And you had to have like a rope tied around your ankle when you went into the most holies of holies. Because if you didn't and you weren't actually up to par, you would fall dead in the presence of God. And they would drag you out by that rope. And so like it was an amazing, most powerful, most this beautiful place to go. And God's presence dwelt there. And so these people are building it from the rubble, from the leftovers. And they are just discouraged because they remember what it looked like. They were looking back and saying, man, it's not as good as it used to be. It's not as good as it was. And so they begin to get discouraged and again begin to give up and begin to fall back on what God had called them to do in the beginning. And some of you guys don't know this about me, and some of you do, that I'm from a super small town. I had about 70 people in my graduating class, and it was like a town, okay? It wasn't just like it was a town. And by 5 o'clock, like, everything shut down, and so kids, you know, got into trouble. Not me, of course, but there was always this guy who graduated like 500 years before us, wanted to hang out with the seniors and like be cool and relive his glory days, go to the high school football games. You had big trucks there. Some of that doesn't die easy, all right? Truck is not as big as it would be if I lived in Myrtle Point. Just know that. I mean, the town that I grew up in. So he would always come and hang out and try to be cool and relive those glory days. And I was talking with Anthony about this message and preparing, and he's like, well, what do you think about, you know, living like glory days type of a mentality thinking? And I was thinking about how creepy that is. And I was like, Paul in my mind, red flag, red flag, red flag. Like, that's not normal. Like, you shouldn't want to hang out with seniors if you're like 30 years old. That's weird. And so, but this guy just wanted to relive those glory days. These were the best days of his life. And the more I thought about this, the more I kept thinking about us as Christians and how we tend to look back at our glory days. And I'm like, man, I just wish it could be like it was back then. Just like the children of Israel at this time, they were looking back and they were saying, man, I wish I could just be like it was back then, because those were the good old days. The temple was so much better. This looks so much better. It was so much greater. But God was like, no, I have better things for you. Just wait and see. Just wait and see what I have for you. But they couldn't see that. They couldn't see what was ahead because they were too busy looking behind. And so we keep thinking about the faithfulness and how God's faithfulness, and we can see in the Bible all these stories of faithfulness. Now, I think it's important. I'm going to put this disclaimer out there. I think it's 100% important to know where you came from. Your story is your story, and that is your testimony that God calls us to share with people in this dying world around us. So I think it is so important to know where you came from. I think it's important to have your testimony. It's important to have your story. It's important to look back and see how God has moved you along. The sin, and when it becomes a problem, is when you get stuck there, when you get stuck looking back instead of using your history to move you to your future, where God has you and where God wants you. And so they didn't get it. The people didn't get it. All they could see around them was the rubble. All they could see around them was the leftover scraps. And some of us are in that place today. It's like all we can see around us is the stuff left over, the scraps, the rubble. But God's like, I have better things for you, but I can't give them to you until you stop looking back and look to me. Because God doesn't want us to keep looking back to our glory days. He wants us to have hope in him for the future and what he is going to do for us. So we need to stop looking back. And as I was reading through this morning and just kind of like putting it in my mind and praying and asking God, come on, speak through me, God. I don't want it to be my words. I noticed there's something in here that I didn't even know when I was doing my sermon. And it says in toward the end of verse 4, it says, be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work. I probably forgot that on purpose, honestly. I don't like that word. But he says work. God is calling us to work. Our works don't save us, but we need to be busy about his business. And this whole message is called Wake Up Call. And God was just putting on my heart over the last couple days is that we have fallen asleep as a church, as a people. We have fallen asleep. And us and our temple has gotten a little dusty. And it is time to get out the Swiffer and clean it up. Because God is looking for a bride. He is looking for somebody who is awake and ready for him. And you can read in the New Testament about this whole parable about these people, virgins, who had their lamps half full and some were already full and they were asleep and they weren't awake. They weren't waiting for the bridegroom. And God is looking for people that are awake and that are ready for him. So work, get ready. What do you need to do to get your stuff together? What do you need to do to be back where you need to be? What do you need to clear up to get your temple to back to where God wants your temple to be? Because God wants that for you. God doesn't want a church that's asleep. He's not looking for a slumbery church. He's looking for an awake church. He's looking for people that are excited to be here. And I know we lost an hour. And I'm the kind of person that when I come into work, sometimes my coworkers are like, easy. I haven't had my coffee yet. I'm like, that's all right. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Like, I get excited, and they're like, ooh, easy. But I'm excited. I'm an excited person most of the time. And But that's what God wants for us. He wants an excited church. He wants a happy church. He wants us to be generous. He wants us to be happy. He wants good things for us. But if we are so busy worrying about what's in the past that we are holding on to it so tightly because we want him to do that again, our hands aren't open and ready for what he wants to pour on us now for the future. And so we're going to keep going to verse 5. And it says, God's still talking to the Israelites that are there, and he's telling them to work. For I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. And so, again, what I said earlier is, like, I think it's important to look back and know our testimony and know where we come from and know that and to be excited about how God has saved us and how he's changed us and transformed us. Because God even tells them, he's like, remember back then when I did this? But he's using that to push them to move forward. He's not saying, stay back here. He's like, no, remember so I can push you forward to what I have for you, which we'll read about in a minute. But I want to go way back for a minute to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. We're going to read the covenant that he made with them, and that's found in Exodus 29, verse 45 through 46. And it says, I will dwell among the people of Israel, and I will be their God, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them, and I am the Lord their God. So again, this is a perfect example of us seeing how God is not trying to push people to stop getting, he's trying to push them to stop getting discouraged about the temple. He's reminding them that he is with them and he is going to be there with them. He's going to be their God. He is going to be in their midst. He's going to dwell with them and he is always faithful. And maybe you're here today and you don't feel that. You don't feel like God is always faithful, but you need to hear that his spirit is still here. If you're a Christian, his spirit lives within you. He dwells inside of you. You are his temple, and he is with you, and he is in your midst. So you don't have to fear what the world could do to you, what man could do to you. You just need to keep pressing on to what God has for you. And so God had gave this promise to the children of Israel. And we can read their journey from captivity. It's in the book of Exodus. It's an amazing book. It's a great story of God's redemption and how he redeems his people over and over again. And like I said earlier, as Christians, sometimes we get frustrated with the Israelites because they always seem to mess up. They're like, yeah, we love God, woohoo! And then they're like, look at the idol, let's worship it. And so they're always like bipolar, kind of, you know? And I was like, when I read this, I'm like, oh, come on, I get so frustrated. But then again, like I said, it's like, I look in the mirror and I'm like, me too. I'm also that way. So I get it, I understand. And it's uncomfortable, but it's true that we are just like the children of Israel. And the minute things get hard, the minute we feel opposition, we tend to back off because it's easier. We tend to pull back, put the brakes on. Whoa, whoa, I don't want to go there. What, God, you want me to do that? Sorry, I have to be over here to work on this. Even if this is a good thing, if God is calling you to this, you better get your butt over there because that's what he wants you to do. So you better get over there. And throughout the whole book of Exodus, the Israelites were like, ugh, Moses, can't we just go back to Egypt where it's easy? Come on. We knew where our food was coming from. We had roofs over our head. We didn't have to collect tiny manna from heaven and pick up and be dirty. You know, we had meat. Come on, I don't want to be there. They wanted to go back to Egypt, back to slavery and back to bondage. And again, you're like, come on, wake up, guys. But as I was reading and preparing for this, God just kind of showed me something that was takes me a little longer sometimes. You probably already figured it out, is that being in Egypt wasn't easy for them. They were slaves. They had to work hard. They did all this stuff. It was comfortable. I was like, oh, well, that's good. And he's like, it was comfort. They didn't like the unknown. Whoa, you want me to do what? That means that I might have to give up this. You want me to move here? I don't think so. What if I just do this, and maybe this will still work out? But they didn't like that. They would rather know where their meal food was coming from. They want to know what's happening. Now, I've said this 100 times, but I'm a control freak. And so I like to know what's happening. I have a plan. I have a really cool planner. And if you know, if you've seen it, it's massive. Because I like to know what's happening every minute of the day because I feel like I'm going to go crazy if I don't know what's going on. And so this message was for me. And God said, you know, he's like, I'm not calling you, Ladina, to comfort. I'm not calling you to be comfortable. If you're feeling comfortable, you're probably not doing it right. Because the Bible says that the world is not going to like us. The Bible says we are going to have hard times. If we choose to follow this Jesus, our life is not going to be easy. It's not going to be a bed of roses. Jesus's wasn't, so why would ours? And God just reminded me, he's like, I'm not calling you to complacency. I'm calling you to action. He's called us to action today. He's waking us up. He's calling us out of our comfort zones. He's not wanting us to live there. We might have some rest time where we need to have some filling and some rest time, but we need to get kicked out because we've been in the comfort zone too long. Even, you know, this church in America has been in the comfort zone too long. And look around our society. We want to blame someone. You have to get a mirror and look in the mirror. Because we are not doing our job as the temple of God. We're not doing our job as the church. I'm not doing my job as the church. We need to remember what our job is. And that is to share the grace, love, and hope with everyone and to tell our story so people can hear about Jesus. That's our job. That's what God has told us to do. That's the job, the great commission he gave the disciples, and that's the job that he's given us if we are his disciple. He told us to go into all the world, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to make disciples out of them. That is what our job is. And I think a lot of us have forgotten our job because we have jobs. Maybe God put you in your job to do your job. Remember that. That's important. Okay, getting back. So we're going to transition a little bit about the temple now and what Haggai was actually saying about the temple and how does that impact us? What does that do for us? What does it even mean? This next section of scripture is kind of like, what? This doesn't make any sense? Or you probably could figure it out. I, again, told you I'm a little slow, so it takes me a little longer. So I'm just going to break it down for us this morning. In verse 6 is where we're going to pick up. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house, this temple, with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house, temple, shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, temple, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. That's a lot of Lord of hosts in there. And as I was reading through that, I was like, your mouth kind of gets tired of saying it. But between this passage of scripture, these verses here, it is mentioned 5 times the Lord of hosts. And this shows us that God has all authority over everything. Sovereign, he is sovereign over everything, including how amazing his temple is going to look and how amazing his temple is going to be when he's talking to Haggai. He tells him he's going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I just picture my human brain, like shaking. So like you're taking something up and you're just like shaking it all out, you know? And I just picture God just shaking the earth. He's shaking it. He's waking it up. He's waking us up. He's shaking it. And this verb, we're going to break down what this shaking means here in context to the passage. And it means that it's like to shake or shaking. And it's not about future judgment that the Israelites are going to experience. But it's about God's immediate intervention in providing for the work at hand. Think about that. God's going to shake the earth to provide for the work at hand. God's already got it taken care of, guys. He says here that this, the gold is his, the silver is his, the whole earth is his. He's got everything that we need to do what he has called us to do. And it takes us letting go of our worshiping the glory days and moving toward the future days and for what he has for us in the future. And some of us this morning need to be shaken. And I just picture like, wake up! Like, I feel like that's what God's doing to me right now. He's like shaking me, and I feel like so intensely that he's like, wake up. Do you not know that the time is coming? The end is near? Like, seriously? Look around us. The world is falling apart. We need to be awake. We need to be shaken as a body of Christ. We need to be about his business. God has provided everything that we need. We need to do, you know what we need to do? Actually walk forward in obedience. That's a hard thing. We're always telling our kids, you need to listen. You need to obey. You need to listen. You need to obey. Well, I'm just saying, God's our father. Some of us might have a little bit of explaining to do. Me, not judging you, just me. So further on in verse 8 and 9, he talks about, like I said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He talks about the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former glory, is what he's saying. And he says, and in this place I will give peace. And Haggai's doing a couple things here, and it's really cool to see, because what he's doing is he's given a prophecy, so he's prophesying about future days. And we can see this prophecy fulfilled, like, partway, because it's not all the way fulfilled yet. But he's foretelling of a time where God literally restores the temple that they are building right now, like, that they're working on. That's kind of looks a little, you know, wah, wah. That's not the best. They're restoring that right now. And he's telling them, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, and you're going to see this place immaculate. And that happens. At about 500 years-ish later, this guy called King Herod, he's trying to impress the Jews. And so you know what he does? He rebuilds the temple. He makes it even better than when Solomon made it. They said, in the Bible, it says that it was the most beautiful, it's the most beautiful temple there was. So God's literally telling them that I'm going to restore this and make it amazing. But then we look a little further, and we read into it a little deeper, and he's foreshadowing Jesus. This is all about Jesus. This has always been about Jesus. This whole Bible is about Jesus. The story of creation, Jesus. Exodus, Jesus. King David, Jesus. All of it has been about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, the whole Bible. And so he's telling them that the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former glory. Jesus. Jesus went to that temple when he was a baby. Jesus taught at that temple in his time here on earth. And when Jesus returns, he is going to be the temple, and it is going to be greater than anything we've even ever seen. And it says that he's going to give peace. Isn't Jesus the Prince of Peace? Yeah, crazy, huh? Mind blown. I'm simple, so maybe you're not mind blown. I'm crazy mind blown right now. And so I'm going to read a passage in John where the Jews are talking to Jesus, because Jesus is like telling them he's going to destroy the temple and then rebuild it. And they're like, right, Jackie. Verse 20 says, the Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple. So it took Herod 46 years to make it amazing. And you will raise it up in 3 days. Yeah. But he was speaking about the temple of his body, because Jesus is the temple. There's so many temples floating around, it's hard to keep track of them all. But hang in there, we're almost there. In Revelation 22 through 24, when Jesus has come and he's restoring the new heaven and the new earth, this is really what Haggai's talking about too. It says, in verse 22, it said, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. It's the lamp, and its lamp is the Lamb. For its light will the nations walk. The kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And so we're talking in verse, I'm going to jump back to Haggai real quick, and it's because it says, the latter glory of this house, which we just read in Revelation, will be greater than the former, which we talked about, Herod in the temple, Solomon. And he says, and in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. And he says he's going to fill it with his glory. And in Revelation it says that He is the temple, and there's no need for one because his glory is filling the whole earth. Isn't that cool how God does that? Like, that's what we have to look forward to, guys. That's the hope that we have. That's why when we look back, it keeps us from the hope. It's keeping us from the future. It's keeping us from what God has for us. And he's painting this picture. Like I said, the whole Bible is about redemption. This is the whole picture. This is the end of end. This is time. It's when everything, all the cards are out on the table. Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to be the temple that we get to worship at. And so as we're concluding this passage in this time this morning, I'll probably say that a few times, so don't get excited. It says here, so what about Fellowship Church? Like, we've talked about the church as a global, as a community, but we're here now as Fellowship Church. It's time for us to stop looking back. We've done some crazy things. We've done egg drops, like 25,000 Easter eggs from a helicopter. That was amazing. That was great. We've had amazing Easter and amazing Christmas services. That's awesome. We've had great worship nights. We have great church services. God's presence has been here. That's great. We can't long for that. That's not what God wants for Fellowship Church. What God wants for Fellowship Church is to be pressing forward for something new. Because God wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in our community here within us. And he wants to use us to do it. Like, that's the thing. He wants to use us to do it. He wants to use us to reach the community out. He already used you guys by sharing the grace, love, and hope with the women that needed help. Yeah, it was through money, but that was an example of Christ using you to move his kingdom forward. So he's already using us, and he wants to use us in bigger, better ways. So we need to wake up and think about it and remember that's what he has for us. So now what? I'm going to have the worship team come out, or just Casey or whatever. And we're reading about Haggai, and we're reading about the Old Testament, and we're thinking, wow, Lydia, these are great stories. This is really great about this guy and about these people who are disobeying God. And he has sent prophets to them, but like, how does that apply to me? Well, I'm just going to ask you, if you're online, if you're here in the service today, I just want you guys just to kind of, let's just hone it in. So I want everyone just to kind of close their eyes. This is not for religious duty. This is not because we're super religious. I just want us to be focused about what God wants to do right now at this time. And I know that God pushed this message series back like several weeks. God kept telling Anthony, it's not time yet, it's not time yet, it's not time yet. But his timing is perfect, as we already heard this morning from several different people that came up and shared who didn't even look at my notes. So God is speaking to us this theme this morning. He's speaking to us this common theme of wake up. You're sleeping, wake up. It's time to get busy, wake up. But maybe you're here today and you're listening online and you've never made that call to ask Jesus even to be your Savior. Maybe you're still sleeping in your life of sin. And if that's you today, we're going to, in a second, I'm going to instruct you in a few steps if you feel led to do this. And I want to encourage you to just listen. So with your head bowed, your eyes closed, just really listening. That the Bible says that today is a day for salvation. You don't have to have your life together. Which is great. You don't have to have it all figured out, because I don't have it all figured out. And let me just tell you, even though I have a great planner, my life is not together. Okay? But in Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So today, if that's you, I'm going to give you a chance to take some action. And raising your hand doesn't save you, but it's a really important to take a step of action if you've made this decision. So God, I just pray for anybody here today that is struggling, even in the simple fact of just like saying, yes, I want to follow you with everything that I am. God, you know everybody's heart here today. God, you know those people that are listening online. God, I just pray if there's anybody today, God, that says, yes, that's me. I want to start a relationship with Jesus, God, that you will just touch them right now, God, and they will begin to just confess that Jesus is Lord, to believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead. And then the Bible says that they're saved. God, and you love us so much that you sent your son to die for us on a cross. And God, you want us to just have and feel that love that you have for us. We just thank you and praise you. If that's you today and you accepted Christ, will you just slip up your hand so that we can pray for you? There is people in the back after service that want to talk with you. There's a Bible they want to give you. If you're online and you just committed your life to Christ, then let somebody know online. Just give a thumbs up or a heart emoji or whatever, because we want to make sure that we're including you. We want to pray for you too. So send us a message, direct message us on Facebook if that's where you're watching. You can push a button that says, I've accepted Christ. If you're on the online platform, let us know. We want to be a part of your growth in Christ. So Casey's going to lead us in a few more songs here in a second, but maybe you've already accepted Christ. Maybe you're just discouraged. And maybe today you just need to hear to wake up. Maybe you need God to shake you. It's not going to be fun. Have you ever seen something being shaken? It's not fun. But maybe that's what you need, and you know that's what you need. Haggai is calling out God's people and telling them, don't lose heart. And they are like, God, I know, but look at this temple. But God has a plan. Keep going. Keep working. Keep going. Keep working. Stop looking back. And today, some of you may hear that. You're like, things are rough in my life right now. You don't understand the storms that I'm going through. But God has a plan. But God has a boat that you can climb into and take you to the other side. But God is always faithful. Maybe you've lost your job and you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but God has a plan. Are you working for him? Are you keep putting it all in there? Are you keep pressing forward even when it's hard? Or have you kind of just sat in the rubble giving up? Maybe your family's falling apart. Maybe you just are like, what is going on with my family right now? But God has a plan for your family. And it may look crazy, and your family may be twisted and turned and upside down. And I know, believe me, I've been there walking through it right now. It's not easy, but God has a plan, Ladina. God will turn it around for his glory. Maybe you've been facing opposition and it's gotten you down and you just can't seem to move past it, but God is there. He is always faithful, the Bible says. We need to stop and remember that he has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. He doesn't want us to be comfortable. It's not time for the comfort zone. Time to look to the end zone. It's not time to long for things of the yesteryears, the old glory that we felt back then. It's not time to hold on to that because God is doing a new thing. And God shared something with me, and I don't know if this is you, but it's also time to let go of the sin of the past years. Because God is, if you're saved and you've asked for forgiveness, God already has done a new thing. And he doesn't see that. He sees you as righteous, and he sees you as whole. It's time to wake up, church. It's time to wake up and get to work and do what God has called us to do as a people of God, as a community of believers, reaching out to who he wants us to reach out to. He wants us to be passionate followers, active followers of him, not sleeping and slumbering. Would you pray with me as we close up the service today? And if that's you and any of those things, we're going to have people in the front that are going to be here to pray with you. We want to encourage you. Don't leave this place still feeling condemnation. It's okay to be convicted, but it's not okay to be feeling condemned because that's not what God wants. He wants you to walk out in freedom and in hope that he has, just like he gave the Israelites, that his glory is coming. He is going to have, we are going to experience that. God, I just thank you for today. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that as you met with us today, God, that we can just fall into you and who you are. God, that we don't have to worry about what lies around us, what rubble is around us, God, because you have a path for us that leads to great things, God, and it's things that you want to accomplish. It's things that you want us to accomplish through you. God, we are supposed to be building your kingdom, not our own. So God, give us a desire and a passion to see things through your eyes. And stop looking through our eyes, God, but let us see things through your eyes. And remember that you have a plan for us. You have a purpose for us. And we just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.